So again, Johnny, if I could maybe have the laptop here, that'd be great. I should have also, and I was remiss, I actually wrote a note for myself, and then I forgot about it, or my eyes didn't fall on it in the announcement. But it is wonderful. I'm not sure where you're hiding, but Ron and Hillary are back with us this morning. Where are you? See, I'm even looking down. It is absolutely fantastic to see you back with us, safe and sound, and you've been in our thoughts over the last while, so it's great to see you again. Haggai chapter 2. Again, the last couple of booklets have gone, but if anybody would still like a little booklet, speak to me afterwards. We'd need to order some more, but there's 25 have gone. Little comedies in the book of Haggai, only £1. Really good reading. So speak to me after if you would like one. Where have we been over the last few weeks? Haggai chapter 1. Consider your ways. Is it time to be living in your panelled houses when God's house remains a ruin? Commitment to the work. Go up into the mountains. Bring down timber that God's house may be built and I may take pleasure in it. That centrality of worship, that God's house must be built as a symbol and a sign of the priority of He in our lives. Commitment as a community, the people came together to work. They counted the cost and they cleared the clutter, the things that were getting in the way and tripping them up from having God central in their society, in their community. But they came together as a body to do that. Last week we thought about looking back and how when they thought about Solomon's temple and this new temple, it just wasn't up to scratch. And their thinking was a hindrance in their work. But they were encouraged to look up, to be strong, for I am with you, declares the Lord. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. There was help and strength in God. And then they were to look forward. They were to look forward with hope. Because actually this smaller, more insignificant new building was going to be the very place where the Messiah ministered. And so that idea of how we often look in the outward appearance and judge, but God uses the small things and the insignificant things. We thought about David and Goliath and how God takes the weak to often shame the strong. And so, don't look back and let it be a hindrance. Look up to the help of God and look forward with hope. The first week was a challenge. That was the main theme. The second week was about community, was the main theme. Last week was about courage and hope for the future to move forward. Where are we this week? Haggai 2, 10 to 19. And part of it is kind of reinforcing, but part of it is also moving on, and there's a challenge in here. Let's just work through the verses. Again, maybe open scripture, keep it open in your lap. Verses 10 through to 14, they're complicated verses, and thank you to Barbara for being brave enough to read again. The 24th day of the 9th month, the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. I'm sure you're following me here because this is really easy. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer is defiled. It's about contamination. But it's complicated. It's a bit of a tongue twister, a bit of a head fryer. Simply put is this. You can't pass on purity. You can pass on impurity. Your sin affects the community. Your impurity affects the community. In essence, that's those three verses. How do we understand maybe this a wee bit easier? How do you catch a cold? Can you catch good health? In Belfast they say, is it smittle? Can it be passed on? Prepare yourselves, you maybe want to look away. These pictures are wonderful. The spread of flu is up to you. Flu doesn't spread itself, people spread it. I love this one. It's proper cough etiquette. Error. Sorry, darling. But you can easily catch the cold. But can you pass on good health? No. For the people here in the story, is that their defilement was passed on. And as you kind of get dragged down by those around you, contamination. Just last, not Friday past, the Friday before, I heard this little quotation from Robert Murray McShane. He was asked, what is your greatest problem? My greatest problem is myself and the sins of my own heart. I am that soldier. My greatest problem is myself and the sins of my own heart. What are the things? Well, I think what Haggai is emphasizing here is actually for 3 months, there's been 3 months of hard work. But he's saying this to the people. The hard work is good, but the priority in God's place in our lives, sorry, it's maybe a bit cheesy, but is a heart work. Because it's dead easy to go through the motions and do the right stuff with a veneer. But Haggai's actually saying to the people, it's about your heart. Get your heart right. So it is with these people. Their hearts are far from me. And there's this wrestle between duty and desire. Now, I don't know about you, but I know, came to faith in 1981. And faith can get tired. And you kind of just go through the motions and you do stuff out of duty. But it's about the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Contamination. And it was affecting the community. And so there are those little words again. Give careful thought to your ways. Three times in this little section today, five times in the whole book, Haggai says to the people, consider your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. You remember the Tufte Club? Memory test. What are the three words? Use gold stars down here. Stop, look, and listen. In effect, Haggai is saying, folks, stop, look around and look in, and listen to what God is saying. Give careful thought to your ways. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. The hard work is great. For 3 months we've been working away here, but let's look inside as well. And I don't know about you, but that is the greatest wrestle. Like Robert Murray McShane, that's the greatest wrestle of my life. It's easy to go through the motions. It's easy to look good on the outside. But what's happening inside? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. See, in verse 17, yet you did not turn to me. And that suggests that there's internal stuff that needs sorted as well. Question. What are the things for you and I that may be heart issues that are hidden? And we're sitting in church and nobody knows about them. And if anybody's like the Christianity Explored course talks about, if there was a video played of your life, you would be embarrassed that anybody would know. Business practice. Broken, bitter relationships. Besetting behavior. Things that we do that just trip us up, trip us up, trip us up. Lord, give me strength, trip us up. Internet. Great blessing, great curse. Has made so many dodgy things easily accessible. Parents, again, just for our children, it's something that we need to be on top of. But what are the things, if we were to examine ourselves, what are the things that are maybe affecting us, but nobody knows about? Secret sins. Made me think about Achan's sin in Joshua 7. And the people were told to go into battle, but don't touch any of the honored things for God. And Achan took some and hid them. And when they went into battle then next up against the city of Ai, there were, I think it was 76 people killed. The army was routed. It should have been an easy victory. And whenever they examined to see what was going on, they found that it was one man. And his sin had affected the whole community. So again, for us in Ballywillan, the question is about our personal holiness. And I don't stand here 5 feet above reproach, because I know my own heart, and I'm glad that you don't. But we have a God of mercy and grace whom we fall upon. Examination. A few years ago, sorry, Paul. A few years ago, Ivor Mayers up at Ski Supreme, my dream is to own a Land Rover. A long wheelbase Land Rover with a roof rack and ladder. A Land Rover Defender, not one of the posh ones. And I was up with Ivor one day, up at Ski Supreme in the Lochan, and there was a wee red Postman Pat Land Rover sitting there. And I spoke to Ivor about it. He said, oh, Gordy, yeah, no bother, you could have it. And the price was ridiculous. And then I'm not sure where Andrew Drennan is, but he then said these words. He said, the chassis's rotten, but, you know, you can have it for such and such a price. And I thought, what's a chassis? Gordy, it's the very thing that the Land Rover's built on, that any car's built on. It's the foundation. And so, great price, could have looked great on the outside. That isn't it, actually, that's just a picture from Google. But there was no point spending any money because it was never going to be right because the foundation was wrong. Give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Haggai said to the people, get the foundations right, like Jenga blocks with Ian and the kids. If it's not stable and solid, if it's not right from the bottom up, if the foundation's wrong, it's never going to be right. Dig the deep foundations, pour the concrete, build there. And again, I love this little picture. The wee man coming out of the Bible. I didn't know there was so much in it. To build your foundation on the Word of God, to build your life spiritual foundation on Scripture. And I love in Luke, and maybe you've heard me say it before, but when it talks about the wise and foolish builders, it's the man who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood came, it could not shake it. Because the foundations were dug deep. So for us, personally, what are the foundations like in our lives as we build for the future in our relationship with God? For us as a community, and we thought a little bit about this last week, here are the foundation stones in Ballywillan: prayer, the Word of God, fellowship, outreach, worship. And again, we thought last week about where do we contribute to these? Because we are builders together as a community, each playing their part. Again, we're told about we are being built into a temple. It's community work. But if you were in a work site and somebody was just sitting in the hut having a cup of tea all day, you'd be pretty cross. Well, how does that apply here in Ballywillan? What is your contribution? And there are so many things that go, and there's so many faithful people in church who do so many things. But what's your contribution? Building the foundation of prayer, word, fellowship, outreach, prayer. Or worship, sorry. What's your contribution this morning? Don't be a passive observer. Again, that disease that destroys the church of pneumonia, that we sit in the pews and we moan, but we don't contribute. And I know, look, sorry if I'm banging on and being harsh, but this is what the word tells us, to work together, build a solid foundation. The last thing is expectation. Look at verse 19. From this day on, says the Lord, I will bless you. When the foundations are right, 3 months later, and again, the significance, remember we talked at the beginning of the series about the significance of the dates. This is 3 months later. The harvest has been planted. Tells us the verses there in verse 10 and verse 18. But at this time, the new seed will be planted and there will be expectation. For 3 months, the people have been working hard. Haggai saying, also examine your heart. But also for 3 months, they've been living on the meager supplies that they have from the previous year's harvest. And actually, believe it or not, for the next 6 months or so, they're going to be waiting for the new harvest. But it's in that moment that God says, from this day on, I will bless you. But they still have to live with the consequences of what was. But they had eyes of faith and eyes of hope and expectation. They were living, if you like, between the now and the not yet. Promise that the Lord has given us, written by Paul. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Is that just talking about heaven? Or is it talking about enjoying the fullness of God now when we live rightly for him? And to live with expectation. And the question, what sense of expectation do we live with in our own personal walk with God? Do we enjoy the fullness of Christ? Do we enjoy God's blessing, or do we endure it? Maybe duty rather than desire. But also for us as a community of God's people, what expectation do we have in Ballywillan? And I was encouraged last week. Somebody came to me and says, Gordy, if you need 2 football pitches, I'll mow some grass for you. I'll give you a field. Somebody else spoke to me and said, yeah, family were involved in a sports ministry. I can make some inquiries there for you. That, folks, that's what we need. People who have a heart and an expectation and a participation to work and to move together. So what a sense of expectation do we have in Ballywillan? As we think about building for the future and as committee discuss and talk about new halls, thinking, oh, we couldn't afford that. Thinking, no, we can't afford it at the minute. But with expectation and with hope and faith, can we? Of course we can. What expectation and hope and desire do we have for the work of God, with God at the heart in Ballywillan Church? You know, the little story, the little analogy about the professor who stood at the front of the class and said, can all these different things, sand, gravel, rocks, stones, fit into this jar? You know the story, maybe, or hope you do. But if they're put in the wrong way, they don't fit. But if you put in the big ones first, and then put in the next size, and then the next size, and eventually the professor took the jug of water and poured it in at the top, everything fits in when you put it in the right order. That is Haggai's message. Put in the big rocks first. Make God your priority, and everything else fits and flows around him in your life and in our community life together. Are we making the main thing the main thing? Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and all this will be given to you as well. Now, that's not prosperity gospel, but it's saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Put him first. Everything else will fall into place when he is first in your life and my life. Solomon writes in the Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. This is the heart of Haggai's message. 3 months and he was gone. We don't hear of him again. But the 40 verses that we have in Scripture have a lot to say to us. The challenge, his house, his glory first and center. Community working together as God's people, working together. Courage, he is with us. Be strong, do not fear. I am with you, my spirit remains among you. Cleanliness, being cleansed. That we are called to purity and holiness because our sin affects the camp as we move forward together. Why? Because the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Let's just share a prayer together, please. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lord, cleanse me from every sin. Set me free. Set us free, Lord, to honor you and to serve you. We pray that these words would accomplish the purpose that you have for them in our hearts and lives, both individually and as a body. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We stand to worship again just in a moment. If the children would like to slip out to Sunday school during the singing of this hymn, that would be great. Sorry for the confusion last week. But just as we settle, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Let me just read, just if we keep just a wee moment there, folks. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. And maybe you feel like this morning. Weak is the effort of my heart, cold my warmest thought. But here, when I see you as you are, I'll praise you as I ought. To get a glimpse of who God is, his holiness and his purity. Let's stand and worship with this beautiful hymn.